You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 7 of season 3, if you're just joining. I'm Robin of At a Tired Witch on Instagram, and I am joined by the beautiful Maria of Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
Why, hello. Thank you. And might I say that your hello at the very beginning was very sensual.
Oh my god. Did you see the comments that we got on social media of people like keep using the word sensual? I was dying.
That's so funny.
I'm pretty sure we had a review on Apple Podcast where somebody said how sensual our voices was, and I choked. I'm glad you're here to provide the real witchcraft content that everyone's looking for.
The sensual witchcraft
is very sensual.
Oh no.
If you've just joined us, every single week we talk about upcoming lunar phases. I was just telling Maria off camera, not that we're on camera, but you get the point. Anyway, that the lunar phases are kind of fucked up this month in terms of our like recording schedule. So I'm just going to cover the Saturday lunar phase, even though we talked about it last episode briefly. And then we're going to talk about the one following that. So that being said, on Saturday, just like we talked about last episode, the 16th, we have the full moon in Libra. It does cover a 3-day span because it is a full moon. Libra full moons are a very good time to focus on bringing more balance into your life and kind of, I don't know, putting a little weight into the sides of your life that you maybe are not paying enough attention to. This is also a really good time to focus on spell work that has to do with bringing justice into your life or, I don't know, getting your way, I guess you could say.
We love that.
Like we talked about last time, which Maria and I are live, laugh, loving, is how sensual the full moon in Libra is. Nothing wrong with doing a little bit of self-love.
Or even like sex magic that involves making things go your way.
Dang.
Maybe some like dominance.
What is
sex
this?
Magic?
50 Shades of Grey? Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
So after that, because that's Saturday, following that, we have the new moon in Taurus, which is on the 30th of this month. New moons, like we talk about every time, are a really good time to focus on beginnings or have a fresh start. And the Taurus new moon is really good to kind of plant seeds in a rooted and grounded way. I know that sounds absolutely redundant, but what I mean is that this is a really good time to create tangible starts to things. So these will not be sort of spell work that is kind of metaphorical or dreamy of any kind. These are like tangible things. So let's say hypothetically, as an example, you were trying to buy a house. This would be a really good time to start spell work to like ensure that the house that you're going to want to get when you start looking, you're going to get. This would be a good time to, even on like a mundane level, plant seeds in your garden, especially with spring starting, for spell work. So maybe start a little herb garden that you can later dry those herbs and use them in spell work. But the Taurus full moon is very much so all about tangible, rooted and grounded spell work. Mm-hmm. So I say get out there and do any kind of magic that is really going to give you a sense of reality and put you, you know, that one step forward in a positive way towards some homely energy, if you will.
And sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, and then it's also like the dark moon in Taurus is the day before. And I think that's also a great time to like focus on materialism and things like that. So where are you spending money that's not actually being conductive to your growth or something like that?
Yeah.
So where have you been a little materialistic lately?
We also have a partial solar eclipse too.
Do we?
I believe so. So it's just partial. So we aren't looking at a full solar eclipse, but if you are somebody who decides to work with eclipse energy, you can utilize this. I personally choose to not, but you know, lots of people choose to. And if you choose to, we do have a partial solar eclipse at this time.
Yeah. We love that.
Yay!
So, if you just started listening to us, we talk about a random tarot card every episode. We go over the universal meaning and then go over our own interpretations of the cards. This is just so it helps beginners form their own opinions or even those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. So, this week we're going to talk about the Nine of Cups. And on the Rider-Waite-Smith version of this card, you'll see a man on a small bench and the nine cups are arranged like trophies behind him and his arms are crossed and he is man-spreading. Okay, so the keywords to this card are happiness, fulfillment, and being proud. Now, like most of my interpretations, how this card is positioned and the spread means everything. To me, it is kind of a mixture between like the Four of Cups and Four of Pentacles in its meaning. So when this card comes up in a reading upright in a positive spot, it shows being proud of how far someone has come with their happiness. It really shows a moment of reflection that someone's like sitting down and thinking like, oh, well, look at me. I finished school. I have an amazing job. I have a family I love. I'm truly making it. They realize they have so many things that they should be proud of, things that they've worked hard for that have ended up being successful, which is feeding their emotional fulfillment. Now, things are like hardly perfect, but they are enjoying, you know, that particular moment, not letting anything bring them down. The thing is, though, there is no such thing as having too much or just enough happiness. It is great to be proud of how far you've come, but you have to keep working on that happiness and even future happiness, trying new things and adding them to your, quote, you know, trophy room. And it is really easy to become stagnant even when we reach like a pinnacle of happiness in our life, because happiness takes work and we have to keep working towards it. Now, when this card is upright in a negative spot, it can show being boastful. You know, this man is alone in this card. He has no one there to share this happiness he has cultivated with. So if it pops up in a negative spot, it warns you to be careful of alienating people by trying to be the center of attention. There is nothing wrong with like sharing how happy you are. But if you are trying to make every conversation about it, it may be time to reflect, if that makes sense. But how do you view this card?
I have genuinely mixed feelings about this card. Upright, like you said, it is kind of getting what you want. It's positivity. There's all these great things, right? But my problem with this card is just because our wishes get granted and like the things we want happen for us, that does not necessarily mean that what we want is actually what's good for us. Think about like, you know, when somebody wins the lottery, and this is like, obviously I don't have like the stats in front of me or something, but you know how there's like a common thing where people win the lottery and then they blow all of the money and then they're in a worse spot than they were when they started.
Yeah.
It's like that to me, where although you might have your wishes filled and mm-hmm. this great momentary happiness, mm-hmm. is it better for you in the long run? Yeah. And I often find that when I see this card, it's not. It's not better for us in the long run. Now, that isn't to say that it's true all the time, etc. Mm-hmm. But like, think about if you have a crush on somebody. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my God, I want to date them. And mm-hmm. then you start dating and then you find out that this person actually is kind of an asshole as a partner or mm-hmm. a creep or whatever, that you've got that wish you really wanted, but that doesn't mean that it actually was kind of what you expected it to be. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, that makes complete sense.
It's very to me, like a grass is always greener on the other side. And so while mm-hmm. it does bring us this like amazing temporary happiness, mm-hmm. I always look to cards around it to see if that temporary happiness is like for the greater good, for the bigger mm-hmm. picture. Do you know what I mean? Or if this is truly our wishes are granted, but is that what it means? I always have to like get a clarifier card with this one.
That's how I view like the Seven of Cups. That's how that card usually pops up for me. But I do love your interpretation of this card.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's not that it's necessarily a bad card, but I always need that signifier with it, mm-hmm,
same,
or the clarifier with it to be like, okay, but is this a good thing, getting what I want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like how my interpretation, how it's like a fine line, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this week, we thought it would be super fun. Well, Robin came up with it, almost said I, but I cannot take credit.
Well, you say that, but the reason I suggested it is because you've been wild for plants lately, so.
I have been. Oh, you thought of me.
I did. So I was sweet. Like, this Maria will like this.
Yes. Well, I do. So how about that?
Consider this. I do. So.
So we're talking about the very sensual topic
of is this sensual?
No. About native plants. Very sensual. Anyways. But we thought it'd be fun to talk about different plants that grow in our area and some of the folklore behind some of them and where we gather resources from. Yes. So what plants do you find in your area, Robin?
Well, before we talk about plants in my area, because I'm excited to talk about that, I did want to talk about a website I found first that I think people will appreciate. It's called NWF.org or Native Wildlife Finder, Native Plant Finder. Mm-hmm. And it is literally a native plant finder to your area. So you put in your zip code and it shows you like the flowers, grasses, shrubs, and trees that are all native to your area, like mm-hmm. where you live. And I know in previous episodes we've talked about building your own personal correspondence and utilizing the land you live on to do that. And I found this website and I think it is so freaking perfect for doing exactly that. It's so easy mm-hmm. to just find what's in your area.
Yeah.
And start building from there.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't know if many people know this, but if you have an iPhone, if you take a picture of the plant, it can show you like
I didn't know
what
that.
It thinks the plant is. And there's also a bunch of apps that do it too.
That's literally so cool. I did not know that.
Yeah. So if you're like, what the hell is this growing along my fence? You can take a picture. You can either like see what the iPhone has to say, or you can go to an app which will try to do it itself. No, it's not perfect. Sometimes it does get it wrong, but it can come in handy. Huh. Yeah.
That is interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. And I actually just required a few new books.
She did not acquire a few new books. She acquired textbooks. It's when your life goes full circle and you're not in college anymore and you're like an adult and you're not that people in college aren't adults, but you know, you're settled into like adulthood, I guess you could say. Assuming, of course, I'm like, listen to me, I'm like justifying college ages. You know what I mean? It's the circle of life of traditional kind of life path. If right after high school you go to college,
yeah,
you're like, I don't want to buy those books, those are expensive. And then you like are done with college, it's been 10, 15 years, and you're like, you know what? Actually, I think I am gonna go buy some textbooks. This is good.
Yeah, the one that Robin's talking about is Elsevier's. I am not pronouncing that correctly, but Dictionary of Plant Lore. It is fairly expensive, but like, it's, since it's a college textbook, it's like very well sourced. Like almost every sentence has where the source is from, and mm-hmm. that's like very, very helpful. Especially, you can look in the back of the book and find out specific books that they had pulled it from, and so then you're like, well, I want that one, and I want that one as well. But I did buy some local plant books, which are mm-hmm. like Southeast Medicinal Plants by Corey Pine Chain and Southeast Foraging by Chris Bennett, and yeah, just it really helps you look for native plants in your area, because they usually are accompanied by huge pictures. So you can be like, oh, mm-hmm. well, look at that. But I usually do have to look for folklore elsewhere with plants that grow around here, because it's usually that books of lore don't just involve plants, if that makes sense. So you have mm-hmm. to kind of like dig around. But what was I going to say? I also, like we were just talking about before we started this section, that I have been joining like Facebook groups that talk about mm-hmm. native plants, and they are like the most drama free zones ever. And people just like post pictures about plants that they have found, and people try to guess what they are. And
that's really cute.
Yeah. And it's becoming like a big thing to grow native plant gardens, like not bringing in plants that have, you know, that were pulled from elsewhere. So it's really fun to see like people making plants of local flora.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really cool. I might pretend for a day that I use Facebook more and join a group.
That's the only reason why I go on there now. Just check the groups. Like, sorry, Aunt Barbara, I don't want to see you like on your other tirade about how Trump should be president, but I will go to this local.
Damn it, Barbara.
That's so funny. But
so for me, the plants I'm going to talk about today, the first one is dogwood. Are you familiar with dogwood?
Yes.
Dogwood grows here all over. And I think dogwood is really cool because, like, the flowers will, like, go all crazy and then they'll just all disappear, basically, mm-hmm. in, like, a day. And they just make a big old petaled, littered mess everywhere. Mm-hmm. And in American folklore, like, so this is folklore in America that doesn't make it true, okay? is that Jesus was crucified on a cross made of dogwood, which is like absolutely untrue, because dogwood is not found in Palestine, mm-hmm. like at all.
Yeah.
And so because of that, some people believe that if you carry a piece of dogwood around, it will help you, like, protect you from getting, like, unwanted bites, like, from mosquitoes and rabid dogs, and really just, it's a protection amulet, really, yeah. From unwanted attack. And then because, of course, in American folklore that typically deals with things like Jesus, they're not going to talk about things like protecting you from evil spirits or similar, because America's such a new country that we don't have that kind of old, I don't know, mythology. Mm-hmm. Of course, assuming we're not talking, of course, about the Native American myths, but I am not going to talk about that because I'm not Native and I don't know anything about them. Mm-hmm. Sorry. But it is used as a protection amulet. The bark is, which I think is kind of cool. And the thing is with dogwood is that you can use all parts of the tree. Mm-hmm. So like you can use the sap, you can use the bark, and you can use the flowers. And mm-hmm. if you're using the flowers, they are specifically connected with like ancestor work mm-hmm. and spirit work and mm-hmm. protection. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid growing up, I remember like being told that you could like tell your secrets to a dogwood tree. Mm-hmm. I don't have any idea if that was just like something that, you know, my grandma told me or if that has any basis. I tried looking it up to see if like anybody else was like knew about telling your secrets to a dogwood tree.
Where have I heard that before?
I couldn't find anything on it. So that literally just might have been something Mary told me. I don't know.
I think I heard it about another tree. I'm trying to think about what other tree I heard. Or was it a flower? It might have been a flower.
Well, I don't know. The dogwood, the secrets is you would whisper it into the flower.
Oh, okay. Maybe. I don't know.
But I couldn't heard find that. Anything on it. Like, I looked everywhere. I was like, did I just make that up?
I hate that.
But I distinctly remember my grandma telling me that as a kid, that you could tell your secrets to a dogwood tree. But I couldn't find anything on it anywhere else. So that literally could have just been some shit my grandma told me that was not based in any kind of like common folklore or anything. But I remember that.
Little Robin was like whispering secrets in a dogwood tree and grandma just wanted to know and was just standing behind the tree listening.
Yeah. So, and I know that dogwoods... So part of the reason I picked dogwood to talk about today mm-hmm. is that dogwood grows, although it grows here, I'm pretty sure it grows like most of the United States, except for obviously mm-hmm. the desert.
Yeah.
I think they're really pretty. Like dogwood trees are so pretty. Like I love the flowers on mm-hmm. them. I think they're so nice and they have a very strong smell.
Yeah. They do.
Sweet. But yeah, I thought dogwood was cool and it is something it local. Is cool. Yeah. What is one of your plants you want to talk about today?
Okay, so like I love plants, but I actually kill many of them and I will say like but I've been keeping
Maria's
my gonna, snake.
Maria's
plant
about to
alive.
Talk about fucking about an air cactus.
No.
Let's talk about the magical properties of an air succulent, guys.
No, okay. Snake plant and orchid. Like they've been kicking for a few months. So go me. But anyways, like, I think if you don't have like a green thumb like me, it is such a great, you know, like going out and finding native plants is such a great idea. Mm-hmm. And incorporating them into your stuff. And I've had like a really hard time connecting with South Carolina's land. The mm-hmm. underbrush is like super thick in the forest and it can be so hard to walk through to find anything. But going out and finding paths has really helped me connect better with the landscape. And it's amazing how many like useful things grow on the side of the road here too. Like mm-hmm. over here, it's so easy to find witch burrs, also known as gumdrops, and mm-hmm. wild wisteria, Spanish moss, bee balm, or it's called wild bergamot. Goldenrod, spiderwort, nettle, hyssop, and also blue vervain. And like looking for wild herbs and flowers has become like a bird watching sport for me. There's like, but there's so many, like if as long as you're looking for them, you can find them. But a few of the folklore I wanted to talk about was But folklore is that it was a remedy to illnesses caused by witchcraft. And a disposition from the 1700s, they said if you put it in a bag on a patient's chest as a charm or put some into a beer or ale with some of the patient's blood, it can cure witchcraft related illnesses, which I thought was pretty funny. So it'd be, I feel like for that, you know how we always say that you look towards the lore or like medicinal aspects for the correspondences, that could be like anti-hex or something like that. And I also view bee balm as like kind of like honey, where you want like sweet things to come to you. So if you would use it in spell to bring good fortune or to bring positive stuff your way. And also, as I said, like Spanish moss like grows everywhere here, especially if you go down to not in South Carolina, but in Savannah. But we still have some around here as well. But Spanish moss has a lot of folklore attached to it. And one of my favorites is a story about a Native American woman who was buried underneath an oak tree, and her partner hung her braids in one of the limbs to mark her grave. And after a while, the braids began to turn gray and the wind carried the strands away to other trees. Now the trees weep. The trees that carry it are like weeping for her passing, if that makes sense.
That's really cute, right? I mean, kind of sad but cute too.
I know, I really like it. So but yeah, those are my little tidbits of folklore.
I wanted to talk about goldenrod too. That was the other one I wanted to talk about. Yeah,
we have goldenrod here too.
Everyone's aware, in a full case of transparency, I've got really bad brain fog today. And so if I sound a little like spaced out,
like Maria, go on.
That is why. So another local plant to me is goldenrod. And goldenrod is also a plant that grows everywhere. I tried to pick plants that like that's a common case for people.
Yeah.
So that way, hopefully, maybe if you have these plants growing near you, you can utilize them. But goldenrod is a divination flower. It grows everywhere. It's a wildflower, and a lot of people confuse it with a weed. Because it looks a lot like a dandelion, in my opinion, at least. It's actually a really, really, really good flower if you're trying to attract bees and butterflies. So if you're like trying to plant like a bee friendly yard, look into goldenrod, just suggesting.
Yeah, we see a lot of it on the side of the road around here.
Yeah. So goldenrod is a divination flower, and in America, goldenrod has been used for dowsing rods. Like, you know what a dowsing rod is, right? They like take the little copper sticks, or like they have sticks and they like let them loosely in their hands and they try to find water. And they say that goldenrod will bob kind of in the direction that the water is as well when you're using them like as a dowsing rod. Use them as a dowsing rod, so not like in conjunction with a dowsing rod. Am I making sense?
Oh, no, you're making total sense. Keep going.
But that the goldenrod will essentially like move in the direction of the water, and you can use them very similarly to a dowsing rod or as a dowsing rod. And they also say that if you are a single person and you cross paths with goldenrod flowers, and you are like out looking for a lover, if you will, you will meet your lover the next day. Your future lover. And therefore, goldenrod is really good for divination, love, and money spells.
Yeah. I know it's like also like honeysuckle, that if it grows at your house, in your house, it means that you and your family have good fortune.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
I think goldenrod's really pretty too.
Oh, it's so pretty. It's really,
I think it's
pretty.
Really pretty. I know that people oftentimes, like I said, will mistaken it for a weed. I think that weeds are misunderstood.
Yeah, a lot of weeds are so helpful. Like, you know, mugwort grows in basically garbage. And so does motherwort. I mean, a bunch of like the most healing herbs like grow like in awful places, but and are considered weeds. And even some invasive weeds too are extremely helpful, so that you're actually helping out your ecosystem by like trimming them back and using them for magic or even teas or whatever.
Yeah, So I think it's very cool. I'm really into it. And yeah, I really recommend that everybody go and check out that Native Plant Finder website. Because mm-hmm. you, like Maria suggested at the beginning, like you can make a full garden with just native flowers, or you can utilize it to find flowers that are native to your area and dry them, use them for magic. Why shouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
It's free.
Yeah, I really think when we take the time to like learn plants, like their lore and history and all that, we really start connecting with them better. Like when we use them with under practice, we know where their correspondences come from. Mm-hmm. So taking that extra step of being like, why, like if a spell book asks for you to use, let's say mugwort, you would be like, well, why would it ask for mugwort? So you would look it up and find, you know, the history and all that.
Yeah.
That's why I usually have, if you ever, I'm actually going to be talking about this in the next part, but I usually have like six books open at a time when I'm like researching a herb, if I don't understand where the correspondence comes from. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we build our own correspondences, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And I think it's important.
I think it's neat.
So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
Why, thank you. That was very sensual. So, as like, it's so funny that you picked our discussion today, and it's what has seriously been stirring my cauldron, as you mentioned. But so I probably might have maybe bought like 10 plant books in the past month. And I was like, I was literally telling my wife how I need a new bookshelf. I'm running out of space. I need another like floor to ceiling bookshelf. But I am just like becoming just obsessed with like learning all I can about plants, like as much as I am about tarot. And I think, and just like with tarot, I really think the trick to learning about plants is to spend quality time with one at a time and learn all you can about one until you move on to the next. You know, it's so easy to want to bounce around, especially if you're like ADD like me. Mm-hmm. But like I've been sticking with one at a time, and it really helps you identify with them more and recall facts faster. And then like, if you go out, you can actually be like, oh, well that's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Rather than you know, you looked at it for like 5 seconds. You're like, oh, that's what it looks like. But, you know, I truly believe that when we, as I said, you know, in the previous section, that I truly believe like when we look at like the history, medical properties and lore of plants, we understand their more magical correspondence better. We connect with their spirit on a deeper level. So when we use it, we know why we're using it. We're forming an actual relationship with it. And, you know, a big part of my practice is animism. Yeah, where like I feel like everything has a spirit. So if I'm working with a plant that I don't really know really well, like I don't know, I have problems like adding it to spell work. I want to feel connected with it. And that's why like I try to make certain plants plant allies. So like if you follow me like on Instagram or whatever, you'll see that like periodically I'll go through like a huge stretch of working with a single plant, and like that plant is added in to my spell work for a really long time. And it's just that I'm building a relationship with it. So, but yeah, that's what's been stirring my cauldron, learning and spending too much money on her books. So, Robin, what is stirring you? You're making me laugh. Okay, restart. So, Robin, what is not stirring your cauldron this week?
Well, thank you so much for asking.
I've been cracking up each time. It's so aggravating.
I actually, like, so Maria and I have, like, a little recording sheet that we just, like, jot down what we're going to be talking about for the day. And I actually wrote, like, LOL next to this because I know how stupid it's going to sound, but I'm going to say it anyway.
But 1 minute, is it as stupid as me being like, I hate Elon Musk for thinking about putting lights in the sky?
This is stupider. It's not stupider. It's actually very, like, I think both of our problems. I got a lot of problems with you people. I think both of our not stirring are very valid, but it's just going to sound stupid to say out loud, which is microplastic. I read this article about how, like, the average person has a credit card's worth of microplastic in their bloodstream. Isn't that crazy?
That's,
like,
gross.
So I don't talk about it much anymore, but I used to talk about it a bunch on social media, like 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic happened and I was just like, you know what? Like, everybody's doing their best. So I'm just going to drop it. But I am very annoyingly like, reduce, reuse, recycle. Yeah, I am an eco warrior, which I know sounds very stupid, but it's true. I don't like using single-use plastics. We try to reduce our consumption as much as possible. It's something that I'm really passionate about, but I also recognize is not realistic for everyone. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's why I don't harp on about it. But it, especially considering we just had a child and I read this article about the microplastic, now I'm like fully going like paranoid mom mode. I was like, no more plastic toys of any kind. Not that they really had much to begin with, but yeah, it's just something that like is now in my brain and I'm so paranoid about.
Yeah. I think I saw the same article. Like, that's really, like,
I
gross.
Recognize that perhaps that I'm overdoing it a little bit. Like, I recognize that. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're really good in general about, like, not using single-use products. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I am so, like, I just, like, I read that article and I was like, you're kidding, right? Like, that's,
yeah, that's a little
joke,
much.
Right?
It's just crazy, like, especially in the United States and stuff, like,
it's not just the United States, it's global. Yeah. The world,
I know,
is dependent on plastic.
But you know, you have places like Germany, which they don't use plastic bags or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to bring in your own bags. If you don't bring in your own bags, you're screwed. You have to literally go buy like new cloth bags. But I really feel like
that's how
stuff
it is.
Helps.
In California, we have it, but it's like a 15-cent charge if you forget a bag per bag.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I know that I sound totally like psychotic. I recognize that. Listeners, I recognize that. But it still made me like totally freak out. And I was just like, you're kidding, right? So, like, I have now like examined every single thing that we have, and I'm like, because our move is coming up soon, I'm like, mm-hmm. We're not bringing any of this stuff with us. We're going to donate it to a shelter. Like, we're going to donate it to kids in need. Like, they can enjoy them. And then the other side of me is like, yeah, now I'm just giving kids in need plastic to get in their bloodstreams. Like, great, Robin. And oh, it's so paranoid and stupid.
Well, like, a lot of the plastics are actually, aren't they just like coming in through our food and stuff like that from the animals and from like them growing in plants?
Lot of it is, but then I also read this other article that like, well, was it an article? Like, it was like a Reddit article. So, you know, it's subjective. But it didn't make me think, okay? And it was about how somebody, like, talked to somebody who's, like, the head of some fucking plastic plant who mm-hmm. doesn't keep plastic in their house because, like, even though it's, like, BPA-free, that just means they replaced it with another toxic chemical. And I'm just like,
That sounds about right.
So I like, listen, I fully recognize that that's totally psychotic thinking on my part. I'm not going to freak out if somebody like sends me plastic things or anything like that. But it does make you think, doesn't it?
Especially stateside, a lot of chemicals that are not okay, like mm-hmm. in Europe or whatever, is okay here. And
yeah,
it's like, it scares wow. me. Yeah, it's scary.
So scary.
So scary.
All right. All right. So every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This can be artists, shops, social media accounts, blogs, books, you know. So that being said, Maria, who are you loving right now?
Okay. So I hope I do not like totally mess up the name. So it's another tarot deck. That is not Black and Gold Robin. It's not.
Is it, or is it like that time where it was beige
and you
were like, no, it's fine. It's not gold. And it was like, it's literally desaturated gold.
It's a photography deck, like with many different colors.
Ooh. Oh, I just Googled it. Wow.
Yeah. So it's called Tarot of the Drowning World from Khan and Solensnik. Oh no,
yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that either.
I'm so sorry. But anyways, it's just beautiful. Like as I said, it's a photography deck, and it's all these like the major arcana is people basically in water, and they arrange these people in such a way that represents the cards. It's like stunning, very floral, very spring, and you could tell like how much love went into creating these. And the pip decks are, well, it is a pip deck. So all the court cards and everything does not have any people. And even the court cards, like they arrange like flowers and stuff in such a way that it resembles faces. And yeah, some of the faces are like a little scary, but it's still very pretty. I've been looking forward to this deck so much, and like they are huge cards, like from top to bottom they're 7 inches, so I've been practicing haven't ever learned how to do the front shuffle, you know, like basically you're shuffling long ways rather than width ways. Mm-hmm. But I am getting a hold of shuffling lengthways, so I can shuffle these cards so I can use them because they're pretty.
I love this. This is so, so beautiful.
Right?
Wow.
It's like little archways into like a little magical world. Like it's real. They're so pretty.
So pretty.
And I don't know how, like the cup cards, like the cups are balanced like in different ways. I have no idea how they did that. Because as I said, like they're balancing them on top of water. So they had to use weights or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so like they even have a music video that goes along with this deck, guys. Like these artists that made this deck are like as extra as me. So love that.
Oh my goodness.
But who are you loving?
I'm actually wanting to talk about my spouse. We're gonna have a little Frankie appreciation moment. He's been working super hard at like editing my YouTube. He edits this podcast. He edits the Abracadangdong podcast, and he makes all the music and stuff for it. And, you know, somebody in the Ding Dong server said that they really liked the intro music, and he got to say like, oh, I made that. And he was really proud of it. And I just, you know, he does a lot of work for us behind the scenes, and mostly for me. Obviously, he does it for me because I'm his wife and he loves me.
He does it for me because he loves me too. Go on.
It's true. He is obsessed with Maria and Temp. It's really kind of sad, actually. He's a huge simp. But he does do a lot of work for us behind the scenes, and he gets like to be creative and enjoy this stuff for the most part.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just...
If you go to Anchor, you can donate via Anchor to that the podcast. True. And all and that money goes to Frank.
It goes to him. So that's the Frank chip jar. But in reality, he really does do a lot for us behind the scenes. And I don't know, I just wanted to take a little moment to appreciate him because he is our wild card sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, wish you kept that on the inside. That's an inside thought, my guy. But in generally speaking, he does work really, really hard. And I don't think he gets enough credit because how would he? You know what I mean?
It's not that we don't appreciate him.
Is that it's hard sometimes to show that appreciation because he is a behind the scenes person. So I just thought it'd be nice to say
maybe for our outro, we should start saying thank you, Frank, for editing the podcast.
Let's not make his head any bigger. You've seen that fucking forehead, man. It's huge. You don't need to inflate it any bigger. But I did want to take a moment to appreciate him because he does work very hard for us and we love him a lot.
Yes. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank. Well, thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope that we will see you again on Friday, April 29th for episode 8 of season 3. Or possibly you'll catch us on an in-between episode of Coffee Talk. Maria and I are currently in the talks of doing something very exciting soon. So we'll see if we can get that going. Mm-hmm. You can also check out our Instagrams or on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram at Coffee and Cauldrons Pod, or Twitter is Coffee Cauldrons, or you can just go to coffeeandcauldrons.com to find all of our socials.
Yeah, and you can join our Discord tier, Witches vs. Coven, on Patreon, so we can answer your questions in our part 2 next time. If you're loving Coffee and Cauldrons, please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Like, we really appreciate it. It helps us be seen. And
Yes. Thank you. And thank you to everybody who has done that already. We see them and we appreciate them so much.
Very.
You'll even get to hear our lovely, sexy, sensual voices for an additional 30-ish minute episode for being on our Patreon casting tier and up.
So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram.
And I'm Maria from At Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
One, two. That was pretty good.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.